it. So today's daf is Sukkah daf. Hey, we are holding a daf Dalet and Beis. We're at the two dots at the bottom of the page, about six lines from the bottom of the page on daf Dalet and Beis. This year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And the Gemara is going to discuss how we know that Sukkah lamata me'asara tvachim is going to be a problem. And it's going to lead us into a whole discussion. We have three different possibilities scattered throughout the daf. One starting on the bottom of Amid Beis over here, then the second one in the middle of Amid Beis, the third one on the bottom of Amid Beis. But on the way there, we're going to discuss what the Aron looked like and the Kaporis and how tall they were and the Kruvim hovering over, how high of an area they covered, because some of that, and what the tzitz looked like, and a whole number of other exciting topics along the way as we're trying to figure out the basis for the idea that a sukkah lamata me'asara tvachim is possible. So let's begin. Shena gavoa asara tvachim. The Mishnah said that if a sukkah is not gavoa asara tvachim, if it is less than 10 tvachim, it is possible. So minalan, how do I know that? So the Gemara is going to have, as I mentioned, three possibilities. The first one we're going to work on for a while. So here's the first possibility. Itmar Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva Masnu, that this group of four Amoraim taught, and Bekul said Moed Kol Kiai Zuga, Chalufei Rabbi Yochanan, Uma'aili Rabbi Yonasan, that in general, whenever you have this group of people, this group of Amoraim, in Seder Moed, we switch out Rabbi Yochanan for Rabbi Yonasan. He apparently was in the Chevra, in the Chabura that was learning Seder Moed together, so Rabbi Yonasan apparently replaced Rabbi Yochanan in that Chabura of Holy Amoraim. So they taught the following. Aron Tisha v'Kaporas Tefach. The Aron itself was 9 Tefachim tall, and then the Kaporas that covered the Aron was another Tefach thick. So another, added a Tefach of height on top of the Aron. So now we know that the full height from the bottom of the Aron to the top of the Kaporas that was over the Aron is 10 Tefachim. That still doesn't tell us how tall the Sukkah has to be. It just tells us how tall the Aron was. Uksiv, and the Pasuk tells us, V'no'adati l'chasham v'dibarti itcha me'ad Allah Kaporis. Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael, May Allah Kaporis. V'tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Amr, Me'ol Noyar D'Shechina, L'mata, V'lo L'Moshe V'Liyah L'Maram, that the Shechina never went below 10 Tvachim, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Elio never went above that height. Shenemar, V'Shemayim, Shemayim L'Hashem, V'Aretz L'Sal V'Nei Adam, that the Shemayim is L'Hashem, that there's a certain height, there's a certain area that's only for the Shechina, and the Aretz, what's down here, what's within 10 Tvachim of the ground, is considered to be L'Ben Adam. That's something that belongs, that's in the jurisdiction of Bnei Adam. So Loyer de Shechina, the Aruch Liner points out that it's Muchach from here, that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Meir, that the Amma of the Klei HaMikdash was a 6 Tefach Amma. Because if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Amma of the Klei HaMikdash was a 5 Tefach Amma, so then it would turn out that the Aron, which is an Amma and a half high, is not 9 Tefachim. The Aron would then be 7.5 Tefachim. And then when you add the Kaporis, it would only be 8.5. And the pasuk says explicitly, "V'dibarti itcha me'al hakaporas," that Hashem spoke me'al hakaporas. So if Rabbi Yossi is going to say the Shechina was never yorid lamata, and lamata means lamata me'asar tvachim, that cannot be derived from the Aron unless you assume the Aron is 6 tvachim. So it has to be that the Rabbi Yossi is assuming, like Rabbi Meir, that the Amma of the Klei HaMikdash is 6 tvachim. Not only the Amos HaBinyan, but the Amos of the Kelim are also 6 tvachim. Why is that important? Because the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechir Perikim Halachi Beis paskins like Rabbi Meir that the Amos in describing the Kelim were 6 Tefach Amos. Now who's the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Meir? It's Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara in Erevin Membavim Beis tells us Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda Halachak Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rambam is going against the Klalei Apsak over here by passing like Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda. So Kesem Mishnah raises that question. How could the Rambam go against the Klalei Apsak? Says the Aruch Liner. Now I understand. Because Rabbi Yossi is following the Shita of Rabbi Meir. When you have Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So that's another Klal Apsak. So granted, Rabbi Yehuda or Meir Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So if B is greater than A and C is greater than B, right? So you're going to follow the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. And that explains the Shita of the Shita of the Rambam, that the Shechina never goes Lamata Me'asara, that's derived from the Kaparos. Now this idea that the Shechina never goes Lamata Me'asara is used in a different context as well. There is a Chuvus HaRashba in Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Ches, where the Shoal asked the Ramosha Mikutzi that why is it that we don't say Kiddush Levana on Friday night? That maybe there's Yesh Tchum in Lamata Me'asara, and it's like you're being Makabel Pnei Rabbo Lamata Me'asara. So the Rashba said, what do you think about that idea, that it has to do with Tchumin, and you're going to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina, and the Pnei Shechina is Lamala Me'asara. So the Rashba says, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what Tchumin has to do with Kiddush Levana. You're not going anywhere. You're not traveling anywhere. I don't know what this is all about. You're not getting, there was a rabbi that wanted to change the Nusach of Kiddush Levana when man landed on the moon. Ve'ini Yachal Ngoabach, he wanted to change it to Eini Nogeabach. I happen to not be touching you, but if I wanted to, I could. You can't say Eini Yachal Ngoabach. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was Eish Lahava against this. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that this was crazy to change the Nusach of Kiddush Levana. He says, where you're standing right now, it's Eini Yachal Ngoabach. You can't, you're not able to touch it. That's it's still accurate to say we're not Dover Shkarim in our tefillah. We are careful not to be Dover Shkarim, but it's Eini Yachal Ngoabach. So the Kabbalah's Pnei Alvan is not considered Kabbalah's Panim unless you're right near it. So if that were the case, then even if we were to say that it's not called Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina unless you're right next to the Shechina, so even Bechal you shouldn't say Kiddush Levana, because the Mevarich is not kofates to the Makom of the Levana. You don't fly in a spaceship up to the Makom of the Levana. And if the Kavana is not to Kabbalah's Pnei Alvana, but the Kavana is not Kabbalah's Pnei Alvana, it's Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. That's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Beis says, that's why we say Kiddush Levana Mu'umad, because we're being Makabel Pnei Shechina, not being Makabel Pnei Levana. We're being Makabel Pnei Shechina. That's why we stand for Kiddush Levana. So that's what the Rashba writes in the Tshuva. Now in the Mahariel, in Minhagim, in Shavuos, Ozayin, he says that he thought it was a good minhag not to be Mekadesh the Levana on Friday nights, on Leil Shabbos, and he said, and he appreciated this reason because the Shechina is the Kabbalah's Shechina is the Malam Me'asara. In the Tshuva's Mahariel HaChadashos, he explains that he's not bothered by the Rashba's Kasha, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not necessarily the Malam Me'asara, that only the Levana is so high up, because in our Gemara it does say, Li'olam Li'orda Shechina L'matim Me'asara Tvachim. So in order to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina, a person has to at least B'machshava go L'mal Me'asara Tvachim, and that is B'machshava being Yotzei Chutz L'tchum. Still, it's difficult to understand, meaning B'machshava, you're allowed to try, you want to daydream and dream that you're traveling all over the place and you're on a plane and a train, and you could do all that on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with you should probably be learning or focusing on something else, but there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Difficult to understand what that means, but that's what the Mariel writes. The Ramah Paskins in Shulchan Aruch in Simtav Chavav, which is the Simin about Kiddush Levana, that he quotes in the name of the Mariel, that we don't do Kiddush Levana on Yom Tov, and the Mishnah Berurah says that there are a lot of reasons for it, al pi Kabbalah, and the Poskim say, though, that if it's the last possible night for Kiddush Levana, it's a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, and if you don't do it that night, you're going to miss the opportunity for Kiddush Levana, then you should taka do it even on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, if it's the last chance, if it's the last possibility. But anyway, that's where, in Halacha, this discussion of the Shechina not being Yorid, the Matta Me'asara, comes up. So anyway, says the Gemara, V'lo Yorda Shechina L'mata, is that really true? That the Shechina was never Yorid, the Matta Me'asara, V'aksiv, but doesn't Pasuk say, V'yorid Hashem al Har Sinai, that Hashem came down al Har Sinai, so isn't that L'mata Me'asara? Says, well, no, L'mata Me'asara Tzvachim. He descended, but he hovered, the Ashras HaShechina hovered, L'mata Me'asara Tzvachim. V'aksiv, V'amdu Ragl V'yomu al Har Azesim, but doesn't it say, V'amdu Ragl V'yomu on Har Azesim, doesn't that imply that is within Asara? Again, answers the Gemara, L'mata Me'asara Tzvachim. No, that was above 10 Tzvachim. V'lo Olam Moshe V'Eliyahu L'marim. Okay, what about the flip side? Granted, now we've shown the Shechina doesn't go L'mata Me'asara. Is it true that human beings don't go L'mata Me'asara? V'aksiv U'Moshe Olo El HaElokim, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hashem. No, L'mata Me'asara. He only went to a certain point, only to 10 Tzvachim. It's hard to understand what this 10 Tzvachim even means. It doesn't seem like it's a 10 physical Tzvachim kind of thing, meaning you go into a skyscraper and you're way high, you stand up, you're more than 10 Tzvachim off the ground. So exactly what it means, L'mata Me'asara, L'mala Me'asara, this means something else. It means something deeper. But whatever it was, that Moshe Rabbeinu was L'mata Me'asara. V'aksiv, Ayal Elio B'sara HaShemayim, but doesn't it say that Elio went up, B'sara, in a storm to Shemayim? So L'mata Me'asara, that also means means under 10 tefachim. Vaksiv ma'achis pnei kisei parshas alav anenu. Vamra bitanuch melamit shapir shaka mizuv shchinaso va'anenu alav va'ananu alav. So again, it doesn't imply that man was above 10 tefachim. Nah, again, lamata me'asara. Me'kamakom ma'achis pnei kisei ksiv. But it says ma'achis pnei kisei, grabbing onto the kisei hakavod. How could it be that someone's grabbing onto the kisei hakavod if in fact they're staying lamata me'asara? It doesn't seem to be reasonable to say that they're lamata me'asara if in fact they're being ma'achis pnei kisei, because the kisei kavod of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in Shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was holding onto the kisei. It has to be that he was b'shamayim mamish. He wasn't lamata me'asara tefachim. So answers the Gemara, no, ishtarbuve ishtarbi v'le kisei. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the kisei ad asara, just to the point of asara tefachim from Shemayim v'nakat pei, and that's where Moshe Rabbeinu had an opportunity to grab the kisei as it was right at the borderline. So when we say the Malachim et Matan Torah Mali Yilud Isha Beinenu, it doesn't mean that they were literally Beinenu, meaning that's the Gemara in Shabbos that Peches, and when it describes Matan Torah that the Malachim were complaining, well, what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing here? Mali Yilud Isha Beinenu. So the Achronim point out, based on this Gemara, he wasn't really Beinenu. You can't really say Beinenu because he remained Lamata Me'asara the entire time. So says the Gemara, where am I? So Bishlama Aron Tisha, so says I understand very well that Aron Tisha, that the Aron itself is 9 tefachim high, d'chsiv v'asu Aron atzei shitim amasayim v'chetzi arko v'ama v'chetzi rachbo. And here's the key line, v'ama v'chetzi kamoso, that the height of the Aron is 1.5 amos, and if an ama is 6 tefachim, 1.5 amos is 9 tefachim, so that makes sense. Ela kaporis tefach minolan. But who told us that the kaporis, that the covering of the Aron, is 1 tefach? So the Tani Rabbi Chanina, Kol HaKelim Shasa Moshe, Nasna Ben Torah, Midas Orkon, Midas Rachman, Midas Kamasan. All of the different Kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the Torah gives us their dimensions. The Torah tells us how long they are, how wide they are, how tall they are. Kaporas, Midas Orkon, Midas Rachman, Nitna, Midas Kamasan, Lo Nitna. But when it comes to the Kaporas, we're told how wide it is and how long it is, but we're not told how high it is. And therefore, we have to figure out how the height is, how we know that the height is 1 tefach. So tzeilaman mi pachas shabekelim. The way to figure it out is by going and assessing other kelim and finding the smallest possible kli and saying that if the Torah doesn't specify how tall the kaporas is, it must be the same height as the smallest possible kli. Shenemar, because the pasuk says vasislo misgeres tefach saviv. Pasuk describes that they made a misgeret of a tefach saviv. So the misgeret of the shulchan is at exactly 1 tefach of height. So we learn from the misgeret of the shulchan to the kaporis. So mala halon tefach, just like the misgeret of the shulchan is tefach, avkan tefach. So too the kaporis must be 1 tefach high. Says the Gemara, why would you learn from the misgeret, which is the smallest of the kelim, v'nelev mikelim gufayu? Why don't you learn the height of the kaporis from the actual kelim that were in the Mishkan, not just the miskeres, a nice thing, a nice design around the kli. Learn it from the actual kelim, which are all bigger than a tefach, and therefore we should say that the kaporis was taller than a tefach. And says Gemara, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. Whenever you have something that is not explicit, and you have two ways to go with it, and you can explain that it's saying something larger, saying something smaller, we always pick the smaller of the two possibilities, not the meruba. And therefore, over here as well, better to learn the shear of the kaporas from the misgeres, from the misgeres hashulchan, which is a shear muad, and not from the kelim, which are a shear meruba, not from those kelim that are larger shear. We always go with the smaller shear. That's the concept of tafasta meruba, lo tafasta, tafasta muad, tafasta. The reason that tafasta muad tafasta, Rashi explains, because if you can tofes the muad, it turns out you should have been tofes the meruba, so you'll add a little more, but you didn't take, we don't have to take anything away from you. But if you're a tofes the meruba, if you take a lot and it turns out that you took too much, so then it turns out you're a shakrad b'dvarecha. It's as if you took what you're not entitled to. That's how Rashi understands. It sounds like Rashi's saying that it's din suffik, that I don't know how big it's supposed to be, so let's play it safe. We're just being conservative and going with the smaller number. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. But we'll soon see see that that may not in fact be the case. But bottom line is, what we're suggesting right now is that the size of the kaparis is a tefach. How do I know the size of the kaparis is a tefach? Because it's the pachos, because it's the size of the miskeres, and the miskeres is the smallest of the items in the Beis HaMikdash. Says Mar, is it really the smallest? There's something smaller. V'nelef mitzitz, why don't we learn from the tzitz? We're assuming we're going to see that tzitz is only shtei etzbaos. Etzba is the width of a thumb. A tefach is the width of four thumbs, or the width of a closed fist. So the tzitz is only half the size of the miskeres. So why not say that the kaporis over the aron is only a half a tefach, that it's two etzbaos? The tanya tzitz doma kamin tashel zav rachav shtei etzbaos umukaf me ozen la ozen, that the tzitz was like a golden plate, and it was two etzbaos wide, and it went from one ear to the other ear of the kohen gadol. The kosvolav shtei shitin, and it was written on the tzitz in two different lines. It said the words kodesh la Hashem yud and hey milamayla. On the upper part of the tzitz, it said the yud and the hey, the shem Hashem, and the kodesh lamid milamata, and it said kodesh lamid on the lower part of the tzitz. And then Rabbi Yossi says, well, wait a second. I saw the tzitz. When I was in Rome, I managed to see the tzitz. The Gemara tells us in the Sechas Mila that one time Rabbi Yossi went with Rabbi Shimon Chai to Rome to be Mevatel Gzeros, that there were gozer against Klal Yisrael, and a shade that was called Bent Malion came into had seized the body of the daughter of the Kesar. And when the Chachmei Yisrael got to the Kesar, they told the shade to leave. They exorcised the demon that was taking over the body of the daughter of the Kesar. So the Kesar wanted to reward them, so he gave them the right to go into the Ginzei HaMelech and take whatever they wanted from there. So they were able to go into the treasury of the Melech and take whatever they wanted. So they went in there and they took an Igeres that had the Gzeros against Klal Yisrael, and they tore up that Igeres. That's what they were allowed to take. They were allowed to take one thing, so they accomplished to be Mevatel all the Gzeros against Klal Yisrael. So that was the event that's being described over here. When he said, I saw it in Rome, he's referring to that. He's referring to that moment, and he says, when I saw it in Rome, because of Kodesh Hashem B'shita Achas, it was all in one line. So you see, but bottom line is, it's not about this machlokas, whether it was two lines or one line. The point is that everyone seems to agree that it was only two etzbaos. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, why do you assume that the kaporis is one full tefach, because you're going with the smallest thing you could find in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the miskeres of the Shulchan, which is one tefach? No, there's something smaller in the Beis HaMikdash. The tzitz, it's a half a tefach. So why don't you assume the kaporis is instead a half a tefach? Says Mar, don kli mikli, vein don kli mitachshit. No, the tzitz isn't a kli, the tzitz is a tachshit. So if we're going to derive what the size of the kaporis is, we have to derive it from other kalim, but not from the tzitz, which is only a tachshit. And since the tzitz is not a kli, it's only a tachshit of the kohen gadol. You can't learn from there to the height of the kaporis. Tosos over here raises the question that when you say that when we report over here what it said on the tzitz, we said shtei shitin yud and hey milamayla. So says Tosos, isn't that a violation of Hoges Hashem b'osiyosav? Yud and hey is Hashem Hashem. So to spell out yud and then hey without any words in between, like I keep adding in between and I keep saying and then, right? It's a violation of Hoges Hashem b'osiyosav. So Knesset Gedol explains what Tosos is bothered. Is that he's asking on the Tana. The Tana must have said this, meaning this is all Torah Shemal Peh. To write it down in the Gemara, there's no Isser of Hoges Hashem Bios Yosef. The Isser is to say it. So Tosas is not asking, how could the printers put it in the Gemara? Tosas is asking how the Tana was allowed to say it. So Tosas, then they bring a riot to this, the Knesset Gedol brings a riot from the Rambam, that Hoges Hashem Bios Yosef goes on the Shem Havaya, the Shem of Yudke Vavke. And nevertheless, you find in many places that the Rambam writes, the letters Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. So you see, if the Rambam holds that the Hoges Hashem Bios Yosef applies to the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and yet the Rambam writes out very often those in Yisod HaTorah Perek Vav Alach Beis and Hilchos Chavim Perek Beis Alach Zayin Hilchos Tefillah Perek Yedal Alach Yud. The Rambam is not shy about writing it out. So you see that writing it out is not a problem. So from Tosas also, you see that Tosas says you have to be careful about all the Shemos, including the Shem Yud and Hey. And if there's an Isser B'Ksiva, how could even Tosos write it down? Apparently Tosos wrote it also. So as far as Tosos' Kasha is concerned, the Achronim are bothered that the sheet of Tosfos and Avodah Zarah is that in order to be mislamed, it's mutter to be hogas Hashem Elsi Yosef. So why doesn't this count as lehislamed? So he says, no, the whole heter is only when you're mislamed b'shem atzma, but to be mislamed with the shame itself, but to be mislamed with something else, like over here where you're mislamed b'maisa hatzitz, that's going to be asr, meaning when it's about learning about the shame Hashem, that's one thing. But over here, we're just talking about the tzitz, we're not talking about what the shame Hashem is. So that's why Tosfos is bothered that this would seem to be a violation of Hogas Hashem Bos Yosef. This is also part of the discussion that the Nadav Yehuda has in that famous tshuva in Yerideya Madura Kama Chelik Yerideya Simin Sadi Gimel, where Nadav Yehuda talks about L'Shem Yichud. So someone was foolish enough to ask the Nadav Yehuda what he thinks the proper nusach of L'Shem Yichud should be. And Nadav Yehuda did not think there's any proper nusach of L'Shem Yichud. The Nadav Yehuda said, I don't understand. I study Bavli and Yerushalmi Sifri Sifra and everything that we have in our Masorah, and I never heard of such a thing. It doesn't appear in any of our in any of the Rishonim, in any of that. It doesn't appear. So Chadash and Mikarov Ba'u, and they said, people come along now and they say that they know how the pathways of Shemayim. No, we don't add any of these things. But one of the things that the Yehuda deals with is when he says L'Shem Yichud Kudsh Bruchu Shchinte Liachit Shem Yud and Hey Bivav Hey. So is there an Isser of Hogas Shem Bels Yosef? Because the first two letters are Yud and Hey, and you're saying that without a hefsik. You say Bid Vav Hey, so there's a base to connect the first two letters with the last letters, but the first two letters are also a word, and isn't that a violation of Hogas Shem Bels Yosef? So Nadav Yehuda says what he remembers from his youth is that people used to say Yud Hey Bivav Hey fully, and it's not a violation of Hogas Hashem because the Os Beis separates it. Aye, but isn't the Yud and the Hey itself a Shem Hashem? Like Tosfos says over here, that it is a Shem Hashem when that's what you're trying to do, when you're trying to make the Shem Hashem just those two letters. But if the Shem Hashem that you're trying to say is all four letters, so then to say the first two in sequence without any break in between them, that's perfectly fine. That's not a violation of Hogas Hashem Bos Yosef. So Nadav Yehuda says, I got a million problems with the Shem Yichud, but that's not one of them. Meaning being Hogas Hashem Bos Yosef is not my issue with L'Shem Yichud. He had other things that he wasn't happy about. So then Rabbi Yossi in our Gemara said, oh, I saw the tzitz when I was in Rome, and it said on it Kodesh L'Hashem in one line. So one of the Akron, the Rishon LeZion, points out from the fact that the Gemara doesn't say Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Omer, it says V'Omar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. So we can be medayed from there. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi is not arguing. That's generally the way it works, that if someone is being cholik, they say his name and then the word Omer, right? But if they're not arguing and they're just adding, they're just elaborating, it says Omer and then the name. So it sounds like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi is not arguing on the Tanakama in Halacha. And the Tanakama is also maskim that B'diavet would be kosher if it was written on one Shura. All that Tanakama says is that L'chadchila, it's better to write it on two different rows. And that's the makar of the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the ninth parak of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Vim kosvo b'shita achas kosher. The Rambam says it's supposed to be written on two lines, but if you wrote it on one line, it's going to be kosher. So where did the Rambam get that from? Because we pask in Halacha is supposed to be written on two lines. But Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi saw it with his own eyes, and it was written on one line. So it must be that it was kosher, because he saw that that's the way they had it. So it must be that at least b'di'evet, it's going to be kosher. So hard to imagine, no? That, how many tzitz of the Kohen Gadol? Like, there's one in the entire world, and they relied on a b'di'evet? Meaning, they made it, they said, you got it wrong, and they didn't make him redo it? They just relied on a b'di'evet? And to have the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol was a b'di'evet? Difficult to understand. I don't know, for me, it's difficult to understand that... But what does the word b'di'evet mean? It means b'da'avad, when it was already done. So I guess they already made it, and they messed up, and they made it on one line. So okay, so it's already done. So then the halacha is that you can use it. But still, it's just hard to imagine that in the Beis HaMikdash they're relying on b'di'evets like that. But anyway, so where we are right now is that the Gemara is saying that we know that the Kaporos is a Tefach above the ninth Tefachim of the height of the Aron, because we learn it from the Miskeres. We do not learn from the Tzitz, because the Tzitz is only a Tachshit. The Tzitz is not really a Kli. So says Mar V'Nelef Mizer, why don't we learn from the crown around the Aron, or the Mizbeach, or the Miskeres that was of the Miskeret that was very, very tiny. Damar Mar, Zer Mashu, the Zer is only a Mashu. So why are we learning from from the Misgeres, which is in fact a full Tavach. Rather, we should learn from the Zer, which is only a Mashu. Says Mar Dan Kli Mekli, Vein Dan Kli Mehechsher Kli. That the Zer is not really a Kli; it's only a Hechsher and a Tikkun onto the Kli. It was just made to decorate the Aron, the Mizbeach, and the Shulchan. So therefore, you can't learn from there to the Kaporis, which was a functional Kli. It was a lid on the Aron. Ihalchim Misgeres Nami Hechsher Kli. Who says Mar? Well, what do you think the Misgeres was? It was also a Hechsher Kli. We're assuming the Misgeres was placed over the surface of the Shulchan, so it was just there to be Mekashit, it was just there to make it look nice. So says Gemara, no, you got it wrong. Miskaris, the Mata Isa, the Miskaris was under the Daf of the Shulchan, it was under the surface of the Shulchan, between the Raglei Shulchan, and that's what the Daf of the Shulchan, the surface of the Shulchan, was placed on the Miskaris. So the Miskaris was actually played a supportive role in terms of the functioning of the Shulchan. It wasn't just for decoration purposes, so therefore we can learn from the Miskaris. So apparently this is machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim in Maseches Menachos, where the Miskeres was. So I understand very well if you assume that the Miskeres was actually a functional part of the Shulchan, that you could learn from the Miskeres how tall the Kaporis was, because the Miskeres is also a functional part of a Kli. But if you assume that the Miskeres was above the surface of the Shulchan, then how can you learn the height of the Kaporis from the height of the Miskeres? The Miskeres is only a Hechsher Kli. So if you're going to learn from it for the sheer, the height of the Kaporis, you're telling me that you're allowed to learn from Hechsher Kli. Once you're allowed to learn from Hechsher Kli, you might as well learn from the Zer, which was only a Mashahu, which is much, much smaller. So Ella, Dan, Davar, Shanosna, Batorah, Mida, Midavar, Shanosna, Batorah, Mida, Val, Yochichut, Zitzv, Zer, Shalonosna, Batorah, Mida, Klal. No, so it says, forget about the whole thing about Hechsher Kli and Tachshit, and the reason why we don't learn from Tzitz and from the Zer, because of those reasons, it's much more pashut why we don't learn from those things. We learn from the height of the kaporis from the miskeres and not from the tzitz and not from the zer, because the Torah itself never gives a measurement for the tzitz and for the zer, so we only learn from that which the Torah gives an exact measurement for, and the Torah does give a measurement for the miskeres. So the Gemara brings another possibility of how I know the kaporis is one tefach high. Remember, all of this is just in the context of trying to show that how I know a sukkah can't be less than 10 tefachim high, but we haven't even gotten there yet. We're just trying to show, look, the Aron is 10 tefachim high, and somehow through showing that the Aron is 10 tefachim high, we're ultimately going to get back to say, and therefore a sukkah can't be less than 10 tefachim high. But all of this is just like one big tangent. So hang on, we're not there yet. So Rav Huna Amar Mehacha, Rav Huna says, the idea that we know that the Kaporis was one tefach, which means that the Aron plus Kaporis was 10 tefachim, is based on the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Al Pneya Kaporis Kedma. It says that the Dam of the Par, on Yom HaKippurim, that the Kohen God takes from the Dam of Par and he sprinkles with his finger, Al Pnei HaKaporis Kedma. So that was on the thickness of the Kaporis, not on top of the Kaporis. So it turns out that the thickness of the Kaporis is called Pnei. It's called Pnei HaKaporis. And the rule is, the Ein Panim Pachas Mitefach. We never have a Panim, we never have a face of something if it's less than a Tefach. That's how I know the height is a Tefach, not because Tefastim Rubelo Tefasta, Tefastim Rubelo Tefasta, none of that. It's just based on the fact that it's called a panim. So says Gemara, I'll ask Rav Huna, why do I learn pnei from that a pnei always has to be a tefach based on a human face? Ve'ima ka'ape de beyuchani. Maybe pnei means like the face of a beyuchani, which is a gigantic bird, and it's much larger than a tefach. The Gemara Maseches Bechoros in Zayin and Beis tells us that Rabbi Shmuel ben Satriel was made from a place that was called Arka Slovena, that one time a Bar Yuchni laid an egg and it drowned out the whole place. So it drowned out 60 cities and it broke 300 cedar trees. So these eggs were giant eggs. If you're going to learn the minimum, if you're going to learn the size of the Kaporis, because it's called Pnei, from a human face and say that it's got to be a tefach, because Pnei is a tefach, why would you learn from a human face? Learn from a Bar Yuchni, which is much, much larger and is much bigger than a tefach. Says Gemara, tefasta meruba lo tefasta, tefasta mua tefasta. No, if you have two options of where to learn it from, you have to choose the smaller of the two. So if you're given two options of how big a Pnei is, a Panim is, and you can either learn from a human or you can learn from the Bar Yuchni, of course you're going to choose the human. So says Gemara, but if you want to choose the smallest thing, there's something smaller than a human face, than a baby's face. They make a copy the ziparta, the zuta tuva. Why don't you take the face of a little bird, which is way smaller? So Amravacha bar Yaakov, Rav Huna, pnei pnei gavar. No, he learns pnei pnei from a gzeirah shava. Ksev hacha el pnei hakapores, uksev hasim, there's another pasuk that describes, may es pnei Yitzchak aviv. So just like pnei Yitzchak is pnei adam, it's a face of a person, so too, when it calls the pnei hakapores, it must mean something that's the size of the face of a person, which is considered to be a tefach. Says Gemara, v'neilof mipanim shalmaila. But how do I know to derive from the face of a person? Maybe I should derive from the face of malachim, because the Torah refers to their faces also, tichsiv, because after Yaakov meets up with Esav, Yaakov asks, al noim namatsasichem menach, v'lakach nimichas miyad, v'lakach nirisi panecha, kiros pnei elokim v'tirtzeini. So Yaakov is telling him that you should accept my gifts, since I saw your face, and it's seeing you is like seeing Pnei Elohim, it's like seeing the face of a Malach, because I saw your Sar as well. So you can learn Gzeir Shava from the Pnei of a Malach, and the Pnei of a Malach L'chora is larger than a Tefach. So it says Mar, no, we don't want to learn from Pnei of a Malach, because Tefasta Rubla Tefasta, Tefasta Mua Tefasta. And that's the third time in this daf we had that rule, that whenever it comes to the option of learning from that which is larger, or that which is smaller, we always go with that which is smaller, Tefasta Muat Tefasta. And the Rishon Lezion, he says, this is a Raya to Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam writes in the ninth paragraph of Tumas Meis that Sveika Da'oraisa Mita Oraisa is really Lukula. That it's only the fact that we go Lukhumra on a Savik Da'oraisa is a Din D'Rabbanan, meaning on a Da'oraisa level, a Savik Da'oraisa is Lukula. Because according to the Ravid that Mita Oraisa we go Lukhumra, why don't we say that we should be Machmir Misafik and take Tafasta Maruba? Meaning by saying Tafasta Muat, you're saying that we're being Makil. So why are we being Makil? We should be Machmir. These are Dinim Da'oraisa that we're talking about. So it must be that on a Da'oraisa level, Savik Da'oraisa is really Lukula. That's what he understands. Now, the assumption of that comment of the Rishon LeZion is that Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta is Midin Safek, is that we really don't know. But says Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Drush V'Chiddush, in the Ksavim on Pesh Peches, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, no, that Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta, Tafasta Mo Tafasta is a Midah Shatorah and Dreshes Ben. It's one of the ways we darshan the Torah. It's one of the rules of figuring out the halachos of the Torah. It's not Midin Safek. It's not Midin Safek anymore than Gzer Shav is Midin Safek. It's all Midin Vadai. So you can't say Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta is a Raya that Savik Daraisa is really Lukula on a Daraisa level. It's not a Safek. It's got nothing to do with something. There's a Midah Shatar and Dreshes Ben. So anyway, so says the Gemara, V'neilof mikruv, why don't we learn Gzeir Shavah from the Kruv? The Kruv is the Kruvim are also described as panim, and their faces were less than a tefach t'chsiv, because the pasuk describes Ela kaporis yu pnei hakruvim. So I'm Ravach Rayakov Gemiri ain pnei kruvim b'chusim mitefach. Rayakov says we have a Kabbalah that the pnei hakruvim was not less than a tefach, that it was the size of a tefach. Say nachinami, even if you want to learn from the kruvim, it's still going to be a tefach. Rav Huna nami mehach gamir. And the fact is that Rav Huna also learned the height of the kaporis being a tefach from a gzeir shava pnei. Maybe ain nachinami. He doesn't derive it from the face of Yitzchak, from a human face. Maybe ain nachinami. He derives it from the face of the Kruvim. Umay Kruv, what is the Lashon of Kruv? Why are the Kruvim called Kruv? So I'm Rabbi Yevo, Kiravia. It means like the face of a Ravia, of a baby. Shekein Bavel, currently Yenuka Ravia. In Bavel, they would call a child, a small child, a Ravia. Amalei Abayis, Abayis says Rabbi Yevo, El Meata, according to you, that Kruv is a Pnei Adam, Tichsiv, that it's difficult because the Pasuk says, by the Merkava that Yecheskel saw that had four faces on it. It said Pnei Echad Pnei Kruv, Pnei Sheni Pnei Adam, and then it said the third one was a Pnei Aryeh, and the fourth one was a Pnei Nesher. But if Pnei Kruv is a Tefach and Pnei Adam is a Tefach, why does the Torah pasuk, the Navi, distinguish between the two of them? Hainu Kruv, Hainu Adam. It's the same face. It's both a Tefach. Sans the Gemara, Api Rav Rvi, Api Zutri. That when we describe the Pnei Adam, it means larger people. When we describe Pnei Kruv, it's talking about smaller, the most Kalos of a panim. So that's what it means, the Pnei Kruv. When we describe the Kruvim, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that we quoted, like Kaporos Yu Pnei Kruvim, describes how the Kruvim were Porsi Kanafayim Lemaila, Sochachim Bekanfeyam Ala Kaporos, Upneim Ish El Achiv, and they faced one to the other. So we know the Gemara tells us, when do they face one to the other? That's only when Klal Yisrael is Osin Ritzon Shel Makom. But we're not, when we are not Osin Ritzon Shel Makom, then they don't face one toward the other. That was one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's surprising that the Gemara in the Churban Agavet in Gittin tells us that when Titus HaRasha went in, he saw the Kruvim hugging each other. Ki'ilu, they were closer than ever, which makes it sound we were Osin Ritzon Shel Makom. But obviously when the Churban was happening, we were not Osin Ritzon Shel Makom. So that was an extra Chiba Yaseira that the Ribbono Shalom, even as he's giving a patch, the Ribbono Shalom gives a, shows us a, an extra sign of Chiba Yaseira, even B'Shas Churban, a special love that he shows to us even B'Shas Churban. Okay, so up until now we explained that the shear of 10 Tefachim by a Sukkah is derived from the height of the Aron and the Kaporas, which were also 10 Tefachim high. But Umayta Chalala Asara Bar Mischacha, how do you know that the 10 Tefachim by a Sukkah means that the airspace in the Sukkah, aside from the Schach, should be 10 Tefachim? Ema Bahadei Schacha, maybe if you're going to derive it from the Aron and the Kaporas, just like the height of the Aron and the Kaporas with the lid is 10 Tefachim, meaning with the roof of the Aron is 10 Tefachim, so the Sukkah also counting the thickness of the Schach should be 10 Tefachim. You shouldn't need 10 Tefachim of airspace under the Schach. So says Mar, you're right, Elam Yibes Alamim Gamar. The shear of the height of a Sukkah needing 10 Tefachim of airspace is instead learned from the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built. Tichsev HaBayis HaShabana HaMelech Shlomo HaShem Shishim HaMarkov Esrim Rachbo U'Shloshim HaMakamaso. It was 30 amos tall. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says when it talks about the height of the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash, Komas HaKruva Echad Eser Ba'ama V'chein HaKruva Sheni, that the Kruvim were 10 amos tall in the Beis HaMikdash. Vitanya, and the Brisa now elaborates that we could figure out the height of the Kruvim in the Mishkan from the height of the Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash as follows. Memetzin B'Beis HaLam Kruvim B'Shlosh HaBayis HaRomdin Mishkan Ami Kruvim B'Shlosh HaBayis HaRomdin. If the whole Beis HaMikdash was 30 amos high and the Kruvim were 10 amos high, that means that the right proportion of height for Kruvim connected the full height of the Bayis is 1/3 of the height. Same must have been true in the Mishkan. So how tall was the whole Mishkan? Mishkan Kamahavi, Eser Amos. The Mishkan was 10 Amos. 6 Tfachim for each Amos, that means it was 60 Tfachim tall. Dechsev Eser Amos Orech HaKeresh. Each beam was 10 Amos high. Kamahavi Luhu, Shitin Pushchi. How much is Eser Amos? At 60 Tfachim. Tilte, how much is 1/3 of that? Kamahavi, Esrim Pushchi. That's 20 Tfachim. So 20 Tfachim of height is where the Kruvim reached to. So Dal Asaradar and the Kaporas. We already established that the Aron and the Kaporas were 10 Tfachim of height. So if the Kruvim hovered above that, 10 more Tfachim, because they reached a point of 20 Tfachim, we're not deriving, this is the second sheet of where we derive the height of a Sukkah, not from the Aron and the Kaporas itself, but from the Kruvim above the Kaporas, that they hovered, their wings hovered 10 Tfachim above the Kaporas. So, Pashalu Asaru, Ksiv, Ayur Kruvim Parsa, Kanafayim Lamala, Sochachim, Bekanfeyim Ala Kaporas. It even uses the term Schach. It describes how they hovered above the Kaporas. Kari Rachmana, Schacha Lamala, the Torah calls it Tzchach, and it's 10 Tfachim higher. So, but wait a second. How do you know that their wings were over their heads, and it was 10 Tfachim in between the tips of their wings and the top of the Kaporas? Maybe their wings were directly across from their heads, and the wings were therefore a little bit lower. So, no, because the Pasuk says, so it sounds like they were above the heads. So, says Marvema, well, if it was above their heads, maybe the wings were like many tefachim above the heads of the kruvim, and it's way higher. Well, miksiv lemaila lemaila doesn't say way above; it says lemaila one time. So that tells me just above the height of their heads. So hanich l'rameir damer kala amos hayu beinonios. That works very well if you assume that all of the amos in the Mishkan that we describe, whether it be amos of binyan or whether it be amos of kalim, they're all six tefach amos. So then this works out very well. The whole limud works out. El Rabbi Yehuda damer amos al binyan shisha tefachim v'shal kalim chamisha meikel meimer. But behold, that the amos that describe the size of the kalim was five tefachim. Then what are you going to say? Arun v'kaporas kam havalu t'mani upalga. So then it would turn out that the Arun with the kaporas was 8.5 tefachim high, like we explained before, because the Torah says that it's 1.5 amos. The Arun is 1.5 amos high. If the amos being described are 5 tefach amos, that means the Arun was 7.5 tefachim high, plus a 1 tefach kaporas, which we already discussed at length. How I know that the kaporas is 1 tefach? So that's 8.5 tefachim of height. And now you're going to tell me that the kruvim hovered, their wings were at the 20 tefach mark. So then that's not 10 tefachim underneath the wings, it's 11.5 tefachim underneath their wings. Pashalu chadshrei upalga. So ema sukkah adav yachadshrei upalga. So you're going to tell me that a sukkah has to be 11.5 tefachim high? So Ella says Gemara, third possibility of where I learn that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high. Ella Rav Yehuda hilch sukkah mirila. It's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Dam Rav Chaim Rashi Amrav shiurin chatzitzin umechitzin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. When it comes to the shiurim, like a kazayis and a kaseves agas and yom kippurim, all those shiurim and chatzitza, the dinim of chatzitza when it comes to tevila, to going to the mikvah, and mechitza, the halachas of the height of a mechitza, which is what we're discussing, all of that is derived halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So to summarize everything we did today, we asked one question and we gave three answers. That's it. We asked how I know that the height of schach is supposed to be 10 tefachim. Not less than 10 tefachim. So we first suggested it's derived from the Arun and the Kaporis, that altogether was 10 tefachim. Then we said, no, not from the Arun and the Kaporis, from the Kruvim above the Kaporis, under the wings of the Kruvim. And then we said, third possibility, none of that, it's just purely halacha l'moshe misinai. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into this notion that shiur chatzitzin and mechitzin are halacha l'moshe misinai and try to discuss whether in fact that's always true of all shiurin chatzitzin and mechitzin. Okay, everyone have a wonderful evening.
YouTube, so I guess-